today's reading is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 to chapter 2, verse 4, which is page 1201 in the Church Bibles. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But what about the Son? He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Let's start our time by praying. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we pray now as we continue our series in Hebrews on this Palm Sunday. Father, help us to see his wonder. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. Amen. We spend 80% of our waking hours in communication. 55% of that is spent listening. A Forbes article wrote, "Listening can bridge generational and cultural differences, unifies teams, breaks down silos, leverages collective intelligence to adapt to change and challenges." 80% of conflicts stem from poor listening. Good listening results in 30% improvement in employee satisfaction, at 25% productivity, at 8% sales performance. Listening is our well-being. However, we struggle to do it. We spend more than half of our time listening, yet usually retain only half of what we listen to. A LinkedIn article quotes this: "Our entertainment-driven, dopamine-addicted, never-bored society has made listening harder than ever." In a study where participants were tested on how long it took for them to stop listening to someone monologuing, in 2006, it was at the 150 seconds mark. So, right about now. A recent study showed this now dropped to 47 seconds. The reasons for this, there's three. Three reasons. One, Our brains are now wired for more and more stimulus. We get bored, so become dull of hearing. We act like we are listening. We nod our head, yep, cool. But we are actually occupied with something else. Distractions. Three, we struggle to listen because we think we have all the answers. Arrogance. Why mention this? Well, Christians can be bad at listening too. And actually, we struggle to listen for the exact same reasons. Only the stakes are much, much higher. Struggling to listen to podcasts, your teachers, colleagues, each other is one thing. How much worse if we don't listen spiritually to the living God? So if we struggle to listen, but we know we should, the question today is, why should we listen? Enter the letter to the Hebrews. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, Kevin introduced for us the letter. We don't know who wrote the letter, so I'm going to refer to the writer as preacher, because we should read Hebrews like a sermon. And the big issue that the preacher is preaching into, Kevin said, is that these Christians, most likely in Rome, 70 AD, were feeling jaded. Okay, jaded Christians who were struggling to listen. And much like our 21st century, they were, what? One, getting spiritually bored, dull of hearing. Two, they were listening but not actually paying attention at distractions. Three, they thought they knew it all. Arrogance. And so the preacher, his purpose is to exhort these Christians to keep going and keep listening. He writes in chapter 2, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, it'd be great. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. And what is the thing that they've heard? God has spoken to us by his Son. And they should pay the most careful attention because God is speaking by his Son. The Son is the medicine to their listening problems. And therefore, it's the medicine to our listening problems. So, what's the first thing that we need to hear about the Son today? Okay, first, it's the Son becomes the enthroned Son. The Son becomes the enthroned Son. We're going to pick up from verses 3 and 4 today. And I want us to feel the weight of what's being said here. Like an intro to a famous sci-fi movie, it's like our preacher is starting his sermon with epic yellow words appearing from the bottom of the screen. So I think we have a slide. Okay, we play that just to feel the weight of this. Okay, so episode 1, verses 3 and 4. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. The Son is Hebrews' favorite title for Jesus. We were actually talking about this in Youth Sunday. The name Jesus doesn't even appear up until midway of chapter 2, because Jesus is the name given at his incarnation, when the Son became man. It's his earthly historical name. Okay, the Son is the name that links him to his pre-incarnation, his eternal nature. The Son always is, was sharing in God's divine nature. But it's not just what the Son is and was. It's what he becomes. Okay, that's really important. If we just resume the slide. Thank you, Chris. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Okay, thank you. So something has happened. And the thing that has happened is the Son's enthronement. Okay, he becomes the long-promised king descended from David. There's a progressive movement to this eternal Son, to forever Davidic Son. By being the eternal Son and then making purification for sins, he sits down in his rightful place, becomes superior to angels, and will return to usher in this new age. There's this movement, okay? It starts in the former days and then ends in the last days. There's that continuation in the Son's heavenly journey. Okay, so for us today at GCB, if we took our first reason of struggling to listen, one, dull of hearing, if we are spiritually bored, I invite you to see the whole Christ saga again in its entirety, the prequels and the originals. Watch it all through these next few weeks. Only with Hebrews, it's not a sci-fi movie. It's our reality. Let's allow ourselves to be wowed by listening to the one who is the radiance of God's glory, the Creator, eternal Son, in whom this whole cosmic timeline has been set in motion. Okay, he has done something. He's been enthroned to reign as Son. It's anything but boring. So listen. Okay, so now the stage is set. The preacher continues with the introduction to angels. Okay, why should we listen? Second reason to listen is because the Son is superior to the angels. The Son is superior than the angels. So verse 5, if you have your Bibles out. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be his Father and he will be my Son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire." Okay, so what's the deal with the angels? Because it's a theme that continues on even after chapter 1. And we might assume that these Christians were lying in bed, thoughts running through their heads, loving angels instead. And they needed to be corrected with "Son, good. Angels, bad." But that's not what the preacher is saying. He actually speaks really positively about the angels. God provided the law once through angels. God's binding word was given to his people through the angels to Moses. What's happening here is that the preacher is using angels as a comparison tool. Okay? It might seem like the angels are getting lots of screen time, but the real show is happening in the conversation with God and his Son. The angels are just these props or the set to aid in the real show happening. The angels are mentioned to help us see the main actor shine. Okay, so God grabs the microphone and he points to the Son and he speaks to and of the Son using 7 Old Testament passages. So you'll see it in your Bibles. It's mainly Psalm 2 and Psalm 110. And what we see in these quotations is God affirming the identity and the journey of the Son. If you look at verse 5, God announces, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have become your Father'?" Here the Davidic Son is confirmed, and with it, all the promises of Psalm 2 and 2 Samuel 7. It's victory over God's enemies and eternal salvation for Israel. It's established under David's throne. No angel has been given that name. And in this comparison with the sons to angels climaxes with Psalm 110, verse 13. To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? That this is confirmation of the Son's enthronement. At this time, it's shedding light on the future results of his reign. The enthroned Son will defeat all his enemies, including his enemy, the devil. Right? This current creation has Satan ruling, humanity dying. The Son, through his judgment and final reign, will restore that order. No angel has been given that destiny. This angelic message in the Old Testament has now been confirmed by the Son, which puts him higher. It puts him in all the more focus and attention. It's like if you were at home and you were flicking through the telly and you come across BBC One and you see Graham Norton's intro and he says, "Later, we'll have music from the Kings of David." You can help me be the live audience. But first, let's get some guests on. He's given us some of the Bible's greatest lines. The Hebrew preacher himself. Also on the show, these divine beings rose to fame in the Old Testament. Now in the action packed work of salvation, ministering spirits. Angels, everybody. Yes, have a seat on the couch. Thank you. Okay, wow. Now, our final guest, ladies and gentlemen, the biggest star historically in all the world. You've seen him out there, sat on the right hand of God. Please welcome, praise be, the only begotten Son. Very nice. Yes. Have a seat, my Lord. Okay, so Kings of David. Maybe you'd listen. Background noise. The Hebrew preacher, yeah, you'd listen, but you might change the channel when it gets boring. The angels, okay, we'd tune in for that. We'd stick with BBC One for that. And if that's the case, what if the Son himself? How much more would you listen? The world should stop for that. Undivided attention for that. And so for us today, if the Son is in these ways superior to the angels, how much more important is his message? If we took our second reason of struggling to listen because two, distractions, what are you watching other than the one who is most superior? Our careers, relationships, appearances, school, money, that they're good things to listen to, but this is the sonly message being spoken. It's God speaking himself, unmediated. How much more should we listen to that? The last reason why we should listen to the Son. We should listen to the Son because the Son is God's final word of salvation. And the Son who is God's final word of salvation. So chapter 2, verse 1. Verse 1. "Therefore, we must pay the most careful attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" This is the first of five warnings in Hebrews. To pay attention and not drift from the great salvation. This salvation is great because it's God's final word. Before this final word, we saw that God spoke a message in the past, but there was violation, disobedience, And the result of that? Just punishment. Which means those who reject God's final message, well, it won't just be an earthly punishment, but a spiritual, eternal one. Again, it's that less to greater argument. If it was important to listen to the former, and the result of that was judgment, then the latter warning is even more serious. And it's backed up with the verification of our last verse, verse 4. That God also testified to this by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So if all of that is in play, but they neglect it, how will they escape? They won't. And so, to not pay attention to this warning is drifting. Because drifting, left unchecked, will lead to not escaping. It's neglecting everything that has been said by God. He spoke from the beginning, spoke his final words in the Son, and then backed up his word through the Spirit in signs and wonders. And so not paying attention to all of that is treating what God has said as inconsequential, not important. It's a casualness that stems from arrogance because we think we've heard it all before. It's a clear warning, but its intention here is not to scare them. Okay, I heard someone helpfully say this. These warnings in Hebrews are not designed to rob us of hope, but to steer us from danger in order to preserve us, so that we might persevere and inherit what has been promised. That's exactly what's happening here. Notice the preacher's use of the word we in verse 1 and 2. There's a lot of we. And his intention is to draw them close to himself, to encourage them to keep going, keep persevering. So for us Christians here today, we don't need to fear. If we are saved, if you are saved, be sure that our salvation is secure. It is secure. But what it looks like to drift is closing our ears to this warning. That's our last reason of why we struggle to listen. 3, it's arrogance. It's ignoring this because we've heard this before. We know all the Bible answers. It's Jesus. Arrogance is forsaking a careful, continued attention on him, which can be especially easy for those who have been Christians for a long time. Feeling jaded, maybe in leadership, or we know the Bible really well, we forget the weight of what we've heard. And thankfully, the medicine for us is right here in Hebrews. It's to see that there is more. There's more to the Son than we think. It looks like praying that God makes afresh in our hearts what we have heard. It's to want to know him more, because there is more. If 55% of our waking hours of communication is spent listening, does our listening look like paying careful attention, or does it look like drifting? Because when we drift, it's not obvious. It's slow, and it starts when we become 1, spiritually bored. 2, when we become more and more distracted by other things. 3, when we become arrogant. We drift. So the medicine for them is the same for us. Speaking of the Son becoming Son, the one that angels serve, the one the universe was made by, the one whose throne lasts forever, the heir of all things. It's listening because of the greatness of who the one who is speaking. He's enthroned. He's superior to all. God's final word. He not only speaks to us, but he saves us. Why should we listen? Because Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Let's pray. Father, we see in Hebrews that you are speaking to us so clearly. Father, we pray that you help us to really listen. Help us now, today and this Easter week, to really reflect on the Son. Please open our hearts to his wonder and your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.